Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message. I want to read one more verse. It's the same verse, actually, but it's from the New Living Translation. I just want to read it the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." We need to change the way we think. And everything we think, we need to compare it to the Word of God to see if we're thinking correctly. Because the Bible is the gauge. It is the ruler by which we abide. And anytime our thoughts differ from the Bible's thoughts, it's our thoughts that must change. We must line up with the Bible. So the Bible says to be transformed into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will for you is good. So I want to get in today a little bit from where I left off last week about how we do indeed go about renewing our minds. And obviously, the first step to renewing your mind is to be born again. And if you have not been born again yet, according to the Word of God, you need to consider doing that. The Bible teaches us to be born again by repenting, which means admitting that our life outside of God was wrong, repenting, wanting to do things God's way. Then the Bible says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's important because using the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are just a tradition, not truth. In fact, I've said this many times, and I'll throw it in one more time, because who cares if I finish today or not? There's always next Sunday. Someone said, what about Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Someone asked me that when I was talking to them about baptism in Jesus' name specifically. And they said, what about that? I said, exactly, that's what you're supposed to do. And they looked at me like I had two heads. I was supposed to be Jesus' name or the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, either one's fine. And they looked at me like, well, then what's the big deal? And I said, well, what is the name of the Father? And they looked at me like, I don't know, I never thought of that. And then I said, well, what is the name of the Son? Well, it's Jesus. Well, what is the name of the Holy Ghost? And they never thought of that either. I said, well, Jesus said, I've come in my Father's, we know Jesus' name. The angel told us that. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. So we know the name of the Son is Jesus. Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. So now we know the Father's name is Jesus. And Jesus said, the Comforter, who the Father will send in my name. So now we know the name of the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus said to baptize them in the name, one name, of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that name was Jesus. The apostles understood that, and that's why the rest of the Bible records every single baptism as having been done in Jesus' name. Just what the Bible says. In fact, the Apostle Paul found some that got baptized by John the Baptist that weren't in Jesus, that didn't do it in Jesus' name because Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet. And he thought it was so important, he rebaptized them in Jesus' name. So if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name or you're unsure, it is scriptural to make sure you do it right and get it done. And I'd be glad to do it. Baptize you in Jesus' name. How'd I get off on that? Let me go back to my notes here and see where I am. That's how we renew our minds. We are born again. When I came up out of the water in Jesus' name and God filled me with his Spirit, I began to think differently. In fact, that's where I left off last week. I'm not going to re-preach it, so listen to last week's sermon. It's still online, but my mind started to become transformed. I started thinking differently, and as a result of thinking differently, I started doing things differently, and I eventually transitioned into the drunken, drug addict teenager to the Bishop of Maranatha Ministries. Man, what God can do. Hallelujah. Praise God. But And I left last week talking about where it all started. Remember my story about we don't talk like that in heaven? I'm not going to repeat that. Listen to last week's sermon. The wrong thing that any one of us does after we are born again is to refuse to learn how to live differently. Differently. Nature itself teaches us that when something is born, it ceases to continue living as it was and takes on a new life. Just look at a child's birth. The moment that child comes out of the womb, everything changes. For you and the child. Everything is different. The child now breathes on its own. The child's now got to put food in its mouth and swallow it. None of that stuff took place when it was in the womb. Whenever you are born again, mark it down. Your life is about to change. And if it doesn't, something's wrong with your birth. Praise God. If I stood up here with long hair, smoking a cigarette and drunk, talking to you about Jesus, you'd think, who's he kidding? He doesn't know anything about Jesus. I'll tell you why I'm not that, because that's what I was in the womb. And when I came out a different person. I started breathing the Holy Ghost. I started eating the bread of life, and my life transformed. Praise God. God is so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Now, I ended last week's sermon by telling you how things changed and how, and I'm not going to repeat it, but I mentioned how the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, we don't talk like that in heaven. Listen to last week's sermon to get that. And when he said that to me, I was convicted. Everyone say conviction. Conviction is uncomfortable. Conviction is not fun. Being born again is fun. The shout and the glory is fun. Conviction is not fun. Show me the 8-year-old child that has never been convicted with mama's switch, and I'll show you a spoiled, rotten brat. I'll show you somebody you don't want to sit next to. Show me somebody who's 8 years old that has been under mama's wrath with a switch or a paddle, and with the threat of daddy coming home if you don't straighten up with my whip, and I'll show you a well-behaved child ready to take on the world. And if you think coming to Jesus is any different, it is a new birth. The Bible uses the term birth because it is a new spiritual birth. And if you think I am the same person as I was when I came walking into the church the first time, you would be wrong. I am a different person. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And why has that happened? Because the Holy Ghost has whipped me at times, has scolded me at times, has beaten me down at times, has made me feel guilty at times until I realize I want to please you, not this world. Praise God. God is so good, isn't he? All the time. All the time. God is good. God is good all the time. Praise God. So the point of my of saying this is this. When I came to God, and I'm so glad, and folks, listen to me. When someone comes to God, don't you expect them to be you overnight. Oh, I guess this is going to be a part three. I can see that coming. Great silence over there. Look at Diana. She's out in the back listening to my sermon. What is she doing? She's holding a baby. How old's your son? 15 months. How many of you expect a 15-month-old baby to sit in a chair the way you 15-year-old and 30-year-olds are doing? Anybody expect that to happen? No, you expect a 15-month-old baby to act up and got to take him out and stand in the back to listen. Don't you expect a new convert to do everything you're doing? I've had new people come in here and I meet them outside a church somewhere and some kind of filth flows out of their mouth, and guess what? I smile and carry on the conversation. I don't talk back to them like that, but I don't make them feel guilty. Jesus can do that. And he does. Oh, yes, he does. Nobody told me to stop cursing. Jesus did. But when I came into church, I came in with several others at the same time. And I can remember this one day. I was at another young person's house who came to church the same time I did. We all got the Holy Ghost. We all got baptized, not the same day, but in the same general time period. We all started our new walk with God. And I remember one day being in the kitchen of this girl's home where she lived with her parents, and several of us were there. And I remember her getting a, I can see this in my mind as clear as day, because something smote me in my heart and broke my heart when she said this. We were talking about our new life in Christ. We were talking about how things are and how we're not comfortable doing some of the things we did anymore. And I was excited about it. I had gotten a haircut by then. God was making so many changes in my life, and it broke my heart the day these words came out of this girl's mouth. You know what they were? She said, "I've been feeling so convicted about so many things." That's God. That's God giving you a little whack in the butt to tell you quit acting like that. That's what that can, a little whack in the heart. She said, "I was driving in my," and I quote, "I was driving in my car the other day, and I turned on the rocks, the music station that I listened to. And I felt convicted for listening to that music." And then she said, "I said to myself, this is getting ridiculous. And I left it on because this is going too far." Do I need to tell you that she did not continue living for God? Do I need to tell you that she stopped coming to church altogether? I don't think I need to tell you that. Because the moment you say no to Jesus the first time, he's going to wait for you to come back to say yes to take you to the next step. And I don't know where you are in your walk with God. You might be brand new at this. You might have been doing this for many, many years. I've been doing it since I was 18, and I'm now 66. And to this day, I still feel that Holy Spirit tell me one more thing that he wants me to change. And I don't mind one bit if he keeps changing me into his glorious image. I don't mind one bit if he keeps telling me we don't act like that in heaven. We don't think like that in heaven. We don't talk like that in heaven. We don't walk like that in heaven. You keep it up, Jesus. Make me into your image. I want to be like you. Oh, Jesus, help us. The biggest mistake any of us will ever make is to begin our walk with God determined that we're going to do our own thing. And I'm not going to live the way the church does or the way Jesus wants me to. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that does seem right to a man. These Pentecostals, they go, that's not necessary. There is a way that does seem right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I don't want to do what seems right to this man. I want to do what seems right to that man. Jesus, you tell me what's right. You tell me what's wrong. I will trust you over my own opinion any day of the week. Clap your hands for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, change your attitude's altitude. Am I going to get there today? How long have I been preaching? Whew. Jesus wants to show us a better way that leads to eternal life, even though the way sometimes seems difficult. And refusing to allow ourselves to see things differently would be like a 40-year-old man coming to a psychologist and saying, "My life is all messed up. I need help." And the psychologist sitting down saying, "Well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're thinking like this wrong, this is wrong thinking. Let's work on this area, and then we'll go to this area, and we'll get you straightened out and get you turned around." And the 40-year-old man says, "Okay, I'm a lot of things I've been doing wrong, and I'm at 40 years old, I'm messed up." And then he walks out of the counselor's office and continues to live exactly the way he lived before for another 40 years. Where is he when he's 80? Probably worse, because he's doubled everything. My friend, don't bring me to a church where nobody changes. Don't bring me to a church where I'm going to think like I thought before I started going to church. Because if I'm already good enough to go to heaven, what is heaven worth going to? If people like me are there living in my sin can still get into heaven, my friend, transform me into your image. Amen. Now, dear friends, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. I'm so glad I'm not alone. The Apostle Paul wrote a whole letter when he was done. He said, "Oh, by the way, just one more thing." See, I'm apostolic. You want to go to an apostolic church? Here it is. One more thing. As I close this letter, and you think I'm closing this sermon, you'd be wrong. No, maybe I am. Maybe I'm going to close the sermon. You ready for this? Let me say one more thing, he said. After he wrote the whole book to the Philippians, he closed it off by saying, "Oh, and by the way, one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, and what is right." Boy, what a litmus test that is. All the stuff we think that goes through our minds, wait a second, is it true? Half the stuff we get worked up over, we don't even know if it's true or not. Did you hear what so-and-so said about you? Did they really say it? And did they really say it the way you're expressing it? Or am I hearing it through your filter? Fix your thoughts on what is true, number one. Number two, fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Is what I'm doing honorable? Would I be proud of this in front of anybody? And lastly, fix your thoughts on what is right. Is this right in God's eyes? I'll be the first to tell you, we all fail. We all stumble. We all fall. We all do things that are not true. We all perform actions that are not honorable. And we all partake of things that are not right. My friend, when Jesus says we don't do that in heaven, get yourself to the altar of repentance and say, "Lord, help me not to do it here." And when it gets to be too much, I'm going to wrap this up in a minute, but when it gets to be too much and you keep failing, then you go to Jesus with the same words as that man said, "Lord, I believe." And then he said, "Help my unbelief." Wait, do you believe or do you unbelieve? "No, I believe, Lord, but I struggle." I believe this is wrong, but I have fallen. I believe I shouldn't think like this or say this or do this. I believe I shouldn't, but I still stumble. I believe, Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Let's stand together. Who's coming to the piano? Both of you. Annette, God bless you. She took off. She knew she was getting ready to have to come up here. She took off. We got a drummer anyway. I'm going to wrap it up with this verse of scripture. And then we'll preach part three next week, okay? Because I ain't done. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? But I'm going to wrap it up with this scripture. Now, dear friends, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. You know my closing always includes one more sermon. Let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable and right. How many times does your mind wander into what's wrong, into what's bad, into what's discouraging? Lord, help me to fix my mind on what is honorable and what is right. Annette, don't walk out again when I'm getting ready to close my sermon. If you're going to show up here as a visitor, you're going to have to learn some things. God bless you, Annette. What a sweetheart she is. Oh, I've known Annette since she's a little girl. She is always, hasn't she, Mama? Hasn't she always had such a sweet spirit? God bless you. You got a good woman there, brother. And I don't know you as well as her, but I guarantee you got a good man too. You can tell by the countenance on his face. Go ahead and clap. That's all right. But listen, let me close with this. Dear friends, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. This is Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. I'm not talking about me. Talking about the man who wrote that. Put into practice all you have learned from our Apostle Paul, our dearly beloved Apostle Paul. All the things you have heard from our dearly beloved Apostle, do all those things. And all the things we saw him doing, traveling place to place, sacrificing, giving, trying to find one more hungry soul. Do those things. The God of peace will be with you. Let me read verse 9 from the King James Version, because I love the way it says it right here. Those things, I'll just read one verse. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. You know what he said about that? You ready? Those things you have learned and received and heard in me, he simply said, do. Do it. Do it. I don't feel like it though. He didn't say if you feel like it. He said, if you've seen me and learned it from me, do it. It's so hard for me. He didn't say if it's easy. He said, those things you have seen and learned and heard me, you do it. He didn't say if you agree with it. He said, those things you have seen and heard and watched me do, you do it. I don't want to do it. He didn't ask if you want to do it. He said, do it. My friend, let's live for Jesus. Clap your hands and shout. This altar is open if you want to come and say, Lord, help me do it. Help me do it, Lord. Help me do the things I have read, I have seen, I have heard. Help me do it. Help me be like you.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.